The D2C Growth Show.
Welcome to the D2C Growth Show, presented by Banknotes, minted by Hashtag Paid. My name's Ian, and every episode, we sit down with founders and leaders in e-commerce, and we talk about everything and anything related to creating a successful online brand. Today, I'm joined by Chris Mead. Chris is co-founder of CrossNet, which is the world's first four-square volleyball game. Welcome, Chris.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so good, man. Like, we've caught up on Twitter for seemingly ever now. Been following your journey. So excited to talk to you. Just give me like, you know, 1,000-foot view of CrossNet, your story, how we got here. I know you've told this 1,000 times, but yeah, just give me the quick story, man.
1,001, baby. Yeah, we invented the world's first four-way volleyball game. It's literally what it sounds like, a four-way volleyball net. It's height adjustable for men, women, and children, so has really good utility because my mom, my grandmother, and my four-year-old cousin can play, which is really nice, and it's kind of an all-inclusive sport. We're sold in 3,000 stores across the country in 49 different countries and rapidly becoming one of the fastest growing sports on the planet. So really fun. It's been a cool 5-year journey.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like there's so much to unpack with you because like you just said, rapidly becoming one of the most popular sports. I mean, you invented a sport. You just didn't invent a product, which is like, man, that's a whole other kind of matzo ball out there. But like, tell me first, like, what was the genesis for CrossNet? Like, how did you come up with this idea?
Yeah, we were all at different stages in our life. I have two other co-founders, my brother and a childhood friend. Childhood friend had just graduated from Northeastern, super nerdy engineer type dude who didn't want to go work in the robotics field. My brother was just dropping out of college to do e-commerce stuff on the side and also didn't want to get a real job. And I was cold calling. Doing sales about 50 hours a week at Uber. I was Uber's first ever salesperson, actually launched Uber Eats in Rhode Island in Boston. And one of those jobs where you're just sick of waking up and cold calling and you're like, shit, do I just move to a new job in 5 months and get a 10K pay raise and just keep doing this until I'm 60? And I was like, fuck that. So all three of us kind of met up one night. We wrote down a bunch of ideas and four-way volleyball was written down. And that was it.
That's awesome, man. So talk about, like, I guess, getting started with that product. I know you guys have looked at a number of funding sources. You started with the crowdfunding. I think you're back on doing some crowdfunding. So talk about, getting that first product to launch.
Yeah, we actually didn't start with crowdfunding. We started with our 401k money. We've never taken a dollar of outside capital ever. Liquidated our 401ks, took our joint bank accounts, and, like, had 20 grand to our name. And, found a supplier on Alibaba to make the first 50, moved to Miami with 50 of them, and I'd meet you, I'd sell it to you for $100 on the beach, I'd have like gas money or beer money for the night, start chipping away at my rent a little bit, and the coolest thing would happen. 3 weeks later, I'd start getting sales from South Carolina. And I've never been to South Carolina, right? So how am I getting sales? And it's, oh, that dude I met at the beach is outside playing today. And so that kind of just completely snowballed. 50 nets turned to 100, 100 turned to 250, and now there's hundreds of thousands of out there. But it was just all about getting those first impressions in person, demoing the game, having fun with it. From a funding, we literally just took our bank account, our personal bank account money. We had a doomsday board. If it hit zero, we were going back to our real jobs. Thank God it only went as low as like 400 at one point. And just kept rebuying inventory. We sold one, buy two, sold two, buy four, and just keep scaling it up, you know?
Yeah. I feel like every answer begins like two questions for me. Yeah. But like your go-to-market is so interesting, right? You started at the beach, you totally understood that. And then you've sort of taken it to the colleges as well, right? Like that's a big piece for you.
Oh yeah, we're an intramural sport at like 300 schools right now. That potentially, like if we were a VC-backed business, I would have a full-time salesperson just like calling colleges, right? And just like breaking down doors there. But right now it's happening organically. Kids are going to their intramural program playing CrossNet. They're doing it at their high school level. And yeah, I see it becoming a real sport. It's just, it's a long thing to build a sport. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah. On the crowdfunding piece, I mean, as you diversify, because I know like I signed up for the CrossNet soccer piece. When you guys did the crowdfunded piece for that. So like, so you took CrossNet, you the four square of volleyball, then you're like, hey, let's blow this out. You got H2O, you got soccer, you just dropped another one. Tell us about that. So just talk about like at what point you saw critical mass, like, hey man, we need to expand this into other sports verticals.
Yeah. I think it's the classic founder dilemma of, do we focus on one SKU and go really hard with it? And then we also look at our balance sheet and we see that LTV isn't really growing, because why would you buy this again if you already have it, right? If it breaks, it's kind of like a shame on me as an operator, because I've made a faulty product and I don't want to rely on my customers to lose or break their nets in order to become customers again. So on one hand, my job is to make you go out into the world and play CrossNet every day so you could be a walking billboard for me. But I also want to make more money from my customer, because you trusted me enough once, you go out and you have fun, you're going to want to spend more money with me if I provide more product to the world. So for me, it was like, what avenues can we expand CrossNet into? Soccer made a lot of sense, because I grew up, we weren't volleyball guys at all. We never played volleyball. It was just a cool idea at the beach. We all grew up playing soccer together. Let's drop it to the floor, work on foot, like trapping, foot skills, headers, all that good stuff, and see if it applies. And it did. And now we're doing the same with pickleball. We did the same with the pool version of a year ago. So, yeah, I want to take CrossNet to whatever body part that our customer wants to play with. And if it happens to span over a few different body parts, so be it.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen some great content. I think recently I saw like a women's college team.
Yeah,
had about like five of them.
South Carolina Gamecocks. And that's the coolest thing, bro, is like they're not even like contacting us asking for freebies. It's like I just jump on Twitter and I see like shit like that happening, and it's like, oh my god, this is so cool.
Yeah, well man, I'm proud. My varsity boys down here in South Carolina, we were amongst the first to test it out.
They were.
That's awesome. And yeah that was awesome. So let's go back to like the marketing piece for a second, because you also, something that I've noticed amongst y'all, really early entry, early adopter NIL. Talk about like what was behind that. It makes a lot of sense with your product and your vertical, but talk about like the thoughts behind that and then how it's gone, where it's going.
Yeah. My goal as a marketer is get as many eyeballs at the most affordable cost as possible. Right. And before NIL, you had people asking $2,500 for an Instagram post when they're a part-time bikini model and working at the coffee house. Right. And it's just like egregious. You get egregious rates, and NIL opened up the doors to have tons of our college like ambassadors and athletes actually just get paid to play the game that they loved. So when we opened up like on our story, oh, taking applications, we got flooded, bro. Like thousands of people emailing us, like no exaggeration. And so at one point we had 317 NIL athletes on our roster. We shipped out so much product. Depending on their performance on their platform, we would be like, oh, this person gets $50 a month, this person gets $500 a month, you know, and we build out a budget for it. And when I look back at it, we got amazing content. It was a really cool net moment, because the NIL was like popping off for like 3 months. It was like everybody was talking about it for the first 3 months when it popped off.
Sure.
And of course, now it's still a thing and very good. But we kind of, in hindsight, as an operator, I'm sure you use this show to talk about regrets as well, as we went too hard. Having 317 people to manage by one person is nearly impossible. Trying to organize all that content, trying to make sure people are hitting deliverables, making sure that people are getting paid the correct amount, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
So we have since gladly gotten all that content in our Dropbox, and we'll hopefully work through it at one point in the CrossNet history. But we've scaled it back. We're down to like 10 athletes now. There are 10 people that have a really good rapport with us. We talk to them on a daily basis. We're in text groups, chat groups all the time on Slack. And they're now becoming like the face of the brand. And
sure,
it's nice, because they're out at the colleges promoting it. They're getting TikTok videos all the time that are popping up on SportsCenter. So like they're really making a good impact. And it also allows us to like get a lot of diversity, right? I just don't want it to be an 18-year-old white dude at a college. Like we're getting people that look different, feel different, and it resonates with all different audiences, which is great.
Yeah, it's certainly no guarantee with NIL athletes either. I mean, that's like it's very much a gamble. I mean, I know just hearing about the LSU quarterback who got paid a bunch of NIL money and isn't playing. keeps the money, yeah. Right? So it's like it's definitely a gamble with NIL. I mean, but definitely fertile grounds there in the future tactically.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially for us, like as a brand, I look at it when I pay an ambassador or influencer, I look at them always as a content creator more than, hey, I'm getting my money back, because then I can then use that content to go run performance on it. So if I'm going to pay, let's just call it $400 to a video creator to go create something and they have no platform to get me free views, I'd much rather give that $400 to a college kid who could also create beautiful content. But hey, maybe it gets me 50,000 views on a TikTok. Like, that's sure. A good one.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like you guys have embraced the whole idea of content creator as both amazing content creator, but also ambassador / influencer.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It makes total sense, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so let's talk about, I guess, learnings, growing pains. I mean, you mentioned that NIL as kind of a 2020 hindsight sort of thing. Maybe we went too deep, too fast into that. It's been how many years since the first CrossNet popped?
2018, so 4 years, yeah.
Okay, so yep. In that time, I mean, what other learnings, you know, just kind of top of your head?
Biggest one that comes out to me, in COVID, we were about 40,000 units backordered. Mm-hmm. And we just kept accepting orders knowing that inventory was being manufactured. And it's a tough balance because, like, when you're a founder, you create your company to make money. And that's your number one priority the majority of the time. Mm-hmm. But at what sake of pissing off the customer and making them unhappy, right? If I'm accepting an order from you for a CrossNet for soccer and you're a random guy that I don't know, right? Like, let's just pretend that. And I accept your money and I feel good. I just made a $150 sale. But if I can't ship that to you for 3 months and I have terrible communication on that, mm-hmm. Well, you're going to be pissed off. You might charge back. But you're probably not going to be speaking too kindly about CrossNet. And I have no idea how much that actually impacts my business in the future. So it was definitely a learning lesson of getting too greedy too often and putting the customer second. We've definitely switched that philosophy at CrossNet. But in the early learnings, greed definitely got to us for sure.
Yeah, that's not... We're 2 years, 3 years into COVID now. I mean, that's really not changed, right? Like, you're still experiencing on the supply chain side, on the container side, on the, you know, all of it. I mean, it's still tough sledding for a lot of companies out there.
Especially on the shipping front, man. Like, we did a sale yesterday on our site. Like, we're moving to a new warehouse. So I gave like 50% off all of our, like, we literally have to spend thousands of dollars to move all of our shit. So it's like, instead of paying a trucking company, I'll just pass the discount off to my customers. And, well, that's pretty smart. But we have shipping on our website. So, like, they're getting literally $75 off some stuff. And then they have to pay $14 for shipping because that's what it costs. And they're like, no way. What a terrible deal. You guys are frauds. Like, they don't even – like, people just don't expect to pay shipping at all. They'd rather have $0 shipping and save $14 instead of saving $75 on the sale. So it's just – the mindset's crazy.
It's like that Drake meme, right? but yeah. So I mean, two things I definitely want to touch on, and I think they're kind of tied in together, is, so talk about the future, talk about you guys are now raising on WeFunder, so talk about that a little bit, and then as we get through that, I also want to talk about, I mean, you talked about it a little bit, but the idea of, hey, I'm not in a company, this company, to just kind of twiddle my thumbs. Like, I mean, it's about making money. It's about profitability. You've been a really strong voice, and you're creating a lot of content out there. And you're just like above and beyond CrossNet. You're establishing, everyone I talked to, e-commerce optimization podcast yesterday, and that, you know, your name came up as just like someone who you need to go to for this content in terms of how to run the business properly, how to strive towards growth and profitability. So talk about, you know, both those things, the WeFunder piece, and then also like why you feel like you want to be a voice out there in terms of like what companies should be doing right, what CEOs, founders should be doing right.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. The WeFunder, from WeFunder, we are raising money for the first time ever and selling equity. We're raising $2 million for CrossNet at a $12.5 million valuation, which is like an early bird valuation on WeFunder. It'll get bumped up once we hit like a certain threshold. We're doing it because we're growing way too fucking fast. And it being in a product business, it requires inventory and it requires headcount. Two things we can't make enough of or get enough of right now. So we have the opportunity to expand to like 3,000 new stores next year, cash is required. We have 4 warehouses now, Australia, Europe, Canada, and America. Inventory is required. I'm dropping pickleball in a few weeks. I have about 5 other games I want to come out with for CrossNet over the next 12 months. Inventory is required. And it just costs money to make money. And if we don't take on capital right now, the debt, like, we could take on debt as well, but I don't want to be taking on 25% interest rates on terrible debt. I'd rather partner with some strategic people as well. So that's the reason for the WeFunder. Going exceptionally well at time of recording. We've raised almost 250K literally in like 4 days. So that's a power of the personal brand and also the CrossNet brand, which is great. And then on your second question,
why the WeFunder route and not, you know, just more traditional, go straight to a VC, whatever.
Yeah, I guess this actually ties into the personal brand. Yeah. One, VC money are typically looking for 10 to 50x valuations and markups, and we're not a unicorn. I'm not building a $1 billion business. I'm working to build a $50 or $100 million business that I'm happy with that is sustainable for the next 30 years. Venture typically is not looking for products. They're looking for tech, at least what I'm seeing. And going back to the personal brand thing is who I am. I grew up in Connecticut on a farm. There's no venture capital. There's no Shopify. There's one gas station and a chicken nugget restaurant, like for real. Like, and so I started posting when I started CrossNet 4 or 5 years ago, just like our little stories, like our little learnings. And because there's so many people, like just in my mind that I know of that have always wanted to start businesses. And now they're 7 years later, they still haven't started their business because they're scared to leave their 40-hour-a-week job. And maybe they have a kid to feed now, or they have a girlfriend that needs to go on a date on Friday nights and they can't be working on their Shopify business. But like, there's so many people who just don't fucking follow their dreams because they're scared. So I kind of just kept putting it out, like content out there. And that's evolved from Chris Mead starting his business to Chris Mead running this $2 million business to Chris Mead running this $25 million business. And it's like, and I think it's needed. There's not many founders out there that are spending time to educate others. Am I right on everything? Fuck no. I make so many mistakes, but at least I could share my mistakes rather than people who are trying to start and fuck up from themselves. So if I could solve, if I could help one person a day, like not make a mistake or think about things differently, it's worth my time. Definitely takes a lot of time these days, but it's fun.
Yeah. What kind of feedback have you gotten on it?
Dude, honestly, I just sent out an email this morning, just getting emails like, this is the best part of my week. This newsletter literally resonates so much because this is exactly what I'm going through. Stuff like that happens every single day almost. And yeah, it's really gratifying, especially like where I come from, like what I've seen in my life. And like, it's crazy to be running this. It's crazy to be on a fucking podcast at 10 o'clock on a Friday. Like, that's so cool compared to where I was 4 years ago.
Yeah, word. Yeah, no, I think... that's awesome, man. That's great perspective. And I think when you, I love talking to you. This is the first time we've talked in real life, but I love on Twitter. You're so real. I don't know if you read much of my stuff on Twitter, but like jaded on the Twitter echo chamber, you know? And yeah. I think like you just, like you said, like this is, we're blessed to be doing any of this. Dude, and I really appreciate your perspective on
at
that.
11:20 a.m. and we are doing a podcast and getting paid for it. Like,
exactly.
Where, how could you complain about life?
Yeah, word. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, man. Hey, this has been awesome. I appreciate your time. I couldn't, I can't believe how much out of just 18 minutes we've gotten in, and I think a lot of people are going to take some great takeaways from this. If there's one thing you want to leave the listeners with, what would that be? And then tell everyone where to find you, where to find CrossNet, where to find soccer and pickleball and H2O and all that, man.
One thing I leave is just get started, right? Like, You have an idea, you may have an idea, you may have one in the future. If you never try, you never know what's going to happen. Worst comes worst, you're in the same spot you're in right now. So just get going. I think living with the idea of regret is very fucking scary, and I'd never want to do that for myself. You can find me on all socials at Chris Mead. You can support CrossNet at crossnetgame.com or Amazon or pretty much any retail store in America.
Yeah, seen it at Dick's, seen it at Walmart, seen it everywhere, man.
Exactly.
All right, boss. So good to talk to you. I'm so glad we got to catch up. Thanks, man.
Is there?
All right, we'll see you.